All right, good morning. We're going to get started this morning, and I'm real excited about finishing. Well, we might finish up this chapter, be close to it, I think. But I'm excited about what I believe God's doing in our lives and the things that He's changing. And, you know, we've been talking about fear, and, you know, it's how can you be excited about fear? I'm not excited about fear, but I'm excited about what Jesus has done for us to deliver us from fear. And, you know, revelation comes. And that's what I believe for this class. Every time we get together, that's what I pray for, that there'll be revelation that'll come forth. Because revelation will change your heart. It'll change your voice. And so as you understand more about fear, I'm really looking forward to the next chapter that we're doing. It's just going to equip us to deal with any fear in our life and so on and so forth. But, you know, as we're doing this book, we're getting a revelation that, you know, it's God's plan and purpose just to take care of everything in our lives. Everything. You read the Word and you see that. But Psalms 91 really just, if I can put it this way, puts it in a nutshell of just how God wants to take care of us, you know, as His children. So today we're continuing on in chapter 5. We've been in here for a little while, but that's okay. We're getting it. We're getting the revelation of it. You know, I believe it's changing our lives. This is Psalms 91, verse 5 and 6. It's fearless living. And that scripture says, "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." And, you know, really that covers everything. Night, day, darkness, and noonday. Terror, error, pestilence, and destruction. And we may get to that part where he expounds on that. But this chapter is called Fearless Living. I think, you know, that's God's will, his plan, and his purpose for it. But I was thinking about it coming here. You know, in doing this chapter, one thing that it has done, it has exposed some fears in my life. You don't know how to deal with something until you know what it is. You know what I'm talking about? You see? I mean, that's what revelation does. And then I'm learning that, you know, it can't be reasoned with. It's a spiritual principle. Fear is a spiritual principle, just like faith is a spiritual principle. And like I said, in the next chapter, we're going to really learn how to deal with fear in our lives. And God doesn't want us to be fearful of anything. Because he says, "I've not given you a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind." So anytime we have fear, just for one thing, he said in the next chapter, you know, that you have a fearful thought. He said, you can know you've been shot at. And when you think about it that way, I think some things we've just been conditioned over the years, fears in our lives. Oh, well, I just have a little issue with that. But it's really a fear. And God wants us to be set free from all fear. And I just believe as we travel on as the body of Christ, and, you know, we get closer and closer to Jesus' return, this is one way the body of Christ is going to wake up, I believe. Because we're waking up to who we are in Christ, what is rightfully ours, and so on and so forth. But we're going to continue on in the chapter today, and it's page 71. And it's Jehovah Shalom. I'm thankful that I've been in a church for X number of years that, you know, we've been taught to follow after peace, have we not?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a tremendous foundation to have. But he expounds on it, tears it apart just a little bit, and I think it's really good and shows you really the depth of it. And Jehovah Shalom is our God of peace. And we're not there yet on the page, but we'll get there. And I wanted to put that underneath. It's just not a peace of mind, but I loved he used it out of the Strong's Concordance. It's completeness, safety, soundness, welfare, health, supply, peace, quiet, tranquility, and contentment. Man, isn't that wonderful? And this is what the world is looking for. And a lot of the body of Christ. So let's read in about Jehovah Shalom. He goes on to say, I'm sure you want the Lord to manifest himself as the God of peace when you're fearful. So let's go deeper into what the God of peace means. Don't forget that Paul was Jewish, so when he said, the God of peace be with you, he was saying, Jehovah Shalom be with you. Jehovah Shalom is Hebrew for the God of peace. Now, if you look at the first appearance of the name Jehovah Shalom in the Old Testament in Judges 6, you'll find a tremendous revelation right there in the story of Gideon. If earlier in some of the chapters he talks about the importance of the first mention in the Bible, where something was first mentioned in the Bible, how important it is. And so that's why I believe that he took us to this place. It's a tremendous story. Gave me some insight I've never seen about Gideon. But this is where it was first mentioned, Jehovah Shalom, and Judges 6. He says, as we read Gideon's story, we discover that the Midianites terrorized Israel day and night. The moment the children of Israel attempted to cultivate their land, the Midianites would descend upon them like a swarm of marauding locusts and destroy their crops and pillage their livestock. The Midianites were so vicious that they would strip the land until it was completely barren and bring Israel to starvation. Fearful of their cruel enemies, the Israelites had no other option but to hide in dens and caves in the mountains. For Gideon, the news of terror attacks against his own people was constant and never-ending. Another village burned down, more sheep, goats, and cattle mercilessly taken, another farm utterly destroyed, more people left to die of malnutrition and starvation. It's no wonder Gideon was petrified and hid himself at the bottom of an abandoned wine press to thresh the measly stalks of dry grain he had somehow managed to scavenge. He was bound by fear and overcome by all the news of terror that surrounded him. Okay, now that was in Gideon's day. Is our day any different? It's not. You know, fear is a tool of the enemy. And it's one that he likes to constantly use. And as we've talked about in our day and time, you know, what the enemy was doing here, it was terrorization. It was. Well, you know, 2000, was it 9/11, 2001, when 9/11 happened, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that was the first time I really, you know, I'd heard of terrorism, but that was the first time it happened on American soil. Yeah. I'll never forget where I was at when I heard about it, and I just thought that woman lost her mind. She didn't know what she's talking about. I was out shopping with my mama, and I thought, dear Lord, that can't be. But you know what? It was very real, and it created fear. And so we realize that, you know, what happened in Gideon's time, you know, it's the same in our time. So let's see what God did for Gideon, because he wants to do the same for us. Let's go on to page 72. When you find, here's the scripture he has, Judges 6:12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And we've all heard different teaching, you know, on these scriptures. When you find the expression the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, it usually refers to our Lord Jesus in his pre-incarnate state. Jesus himself appeared to Gideon when he was in the pit of fear and called him a mighty man of valor. Isn't that amazing? Are there moments when you feel besieged by fear? Has fear driven you into hiding, afraid that you might be the victim of another terrorist attack, or perhaps be exposed to some virus? When you hear reports of terror and destruction, do you feel fearful and anxious? The truth is, regardless of how you feel, when our Lord Jesus looks at you right now, he sees you as a mighty man or mighty woman of courage. You know, we can take that and we can say, I'm a mighty woman of valor. I'm a mighty man of valor. That's how God sees me. And it's not because of me, but it's because of Jesus on the inside of me. And the provision that God has made for my safety, well-keeping, and so on and so forth. Isn't it amazing how our Lord looks at us? It's not how we see ourselves that define us. It's how our Lord Jesus sees us that defines us. And that's why we read his word. We read it to discover what his word says about us. My friend, no matter what state you're in right now and how messed up your life might be, No matter how many times you failed, and if even people around you have given up on you, the Lord Jesus sees the best in you. He sees your potential, your gifting, your call, and your destiny to do great things in life. See, that's how the Lord saw Gideon when he saw him. And you know, I wrote this statement down because I heard Mark Hankins say this. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that we're a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. All things have become brand new. And that is so true. I mean, you know, not that I didn't think it was the truth, but I think it's becoming more of a reality to me the longer that I walk with the Lord. And, you know, we're a new species. I've heard him say that we've been refathered. We have a new father. And this is a statement he says, that you need to ask the Holy Spirit to introduce you to yourself. Because you're a new creature. Yeah, you don't know yourself unless you allow the Holy Spirit to introduce you to yourself. You're a new creature in Christ, not in your old self, but in Christ. And you know, Brother Hagin, I'm sure we've all heard this story. He says the way to study the Bible is to read the New Testament and to find out who you are and underline or circle in Him, through Him, by Him. And Mark Hankins says there's 300 and some scriptures. But he says there's about 30 some that are very relevant in our life to show us who we are. You know, this is what's got to happen to the body of Christ. We got to see who we are, folks. Mm-hmm. You know, because when we see who we are, I mean, we will stand in our place of authority. The reason we don't see who we stay in our place of authority is, I mean, we might come and we might go, but it's because we don't see who we are. We don't know who we are in Christ. And we have to look beyond what we see and what we feel to what is ours in Jesus. So I encourage you, when you're fellowshipping with the Father and whatever, ask the Holy Spirit to begin to introduce you to who you are. Okay? That's your an assignment. And there's a testimony on over, I'm not sure if it's in this chapter. I've read on over some. It may be in the next chapter. It's in the next chapter. Where a woman had a diagnosis that wasn't good, and she stood on the scripture, as he is, so am I in this world, in this earth. And God, he watched over that scripture. You know, so when you find yourself being fearful, you can say, as Jesus is, so am I. Jesus is not afraid, so I don't need to be afraid. So anyway, pray that the Holy Spirit will introduce you to who you are. And I have been doing that, and I have to tell you, it's pretty tremendous. How to be led by His peace. Now pay attention to what I'm going to say. I want you to know that when God becomes Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace in your life, He doesn't just soothe your emotions. I love that. I do, because when you're all in an uproar and this is happening and that's happening, we pray for peace sometimes, and that's what we want. We want Him to soothe our emotions. But it's so much more than that. We want Him to settle us down, and He's so gracious to do that, and that's part of it. But it's so much more than that. He will lead you with His peace. For example, you may be making some decisions at your work, for your children, or perhaps even where and when to travel for your vacation. Talk to Jesus about it. That is so simple and yet so hard sometimes, because we have a tendency to be an independent people. And we don't think about talking to Jesus about the little things in our lives. But I shared a quote from Dutch Sheets last week that talked about him wanting to... God just wants a relationship with us, every area of our lives. He wants to walk with us and He wants to talk with us. If we talk to Jesus about it, He will lead and guide you with His peace. If there is peace from the Lord, then go with that decision. If there's an absence of peace and you feel a sense of restraint, then back away from it. And I've got a perfect example to share with you about this. How many of you heard of the little boy that was thrown over in the Mall of America from the third floor. Okay. Well, they go to the Hammonds Church. Matt Hammond. What? No. Lynn and Mac. I knew I didn't say that right. And I saw something where Mac Hammond talked about it. The little boy is doing good, and he has survived, and it's really a miracle. And Mac Hammond talked about the family attended their church, that the grandparents were actually founding members of the church. But this was interesting. He said the mother was taking the child there for like a play type thing, to be with some friends. And I can't remember if it was a birthday thing that they were doing. But when she pulled up, she had an uneasiness on the inside of her. And she thought, now we can all really learn from this. She thought, but I can't disappoint my son and the kids, the children are expecting him to come. You know, he shared this. And it's not to condemn the mother by any means, because we have all done this. And but anyway, so she goes in, and then the incident happened. But you know, God's merciful. He's so merciful. And so, you know, taking care of the little boy, made provision in all the areas that they needed, I think even financially and so on and so forth. And the boy, little boy is going to be okay. But man, when he shared that, I thought, oh, Jesus. We just talk ourselves out of it. We get that little quickening on the inside of us. And that's what the Holy Spirit is there for. You know, he's the Spirit of truth. He's our counselor, our teacher, our guide. You know, he's just, he was left on this earth to help us. And, you know, and the Holy Spirit is all-knowing. And so I encourage you in that. I encourage myself in that. And you know what was the driving force there? Was, if you know, I can't disappoint my child. What will they think? I'm sure she probably thought, what will they think if I don't bring him to this? Don't we deal with that sometimes? Sure. And that's the thing that drives you sometimes to doing something that you maybe regretted later. Not something to that degree of cost, maybe, but it can be something else when you look back on it and you just regret it and you say, dang on it. You know, I gave in to that peer pressure. And I didn't have peace in my heart doing that, but you know, when you find yourself in social settings, and I'm not talking about, you know, getting drunk and carousing around. I'm talking about just little things in life. You've got a conviction in your heart about something. And, you know, maybe it's watching a movie that somebody doesn't mind watching, but you just don't. Have you ever gotten up and walked out of a movie? I have. I did one time with one of our grandchildren. And I said, I cannot do this movie. I asked for a refund. They gave me one. I don't know if they would do it now because this was quite a few years ago. But, you know, if I had been with the group, I don't know if I'd have been as bold to do that. So we can learn from this. Follow after peace. I know we were trying to decide on a little trip we were going to make this month, and man, we could never get it together. We just couldn't do it. And Dusty and I both looked at each other and we said, nope, we ain't got no business going. You can tell when you're trying to make something happen, can't you tell? But when God's in it, man, it'll just flow. It's smooth as silk. It's just smooth as silk. Because you know that's what he wants to bless you with, so. He says, if there's an absence of peace and you feel a sense of restraint, then back away. You'll find that guidance from the Lord comes very easily when God manifests himself as Jehovah Shalom. In his peace, decisions don't feel forced and full of strife. In his peace, there's a rest. His peace will guide you to be at the right place at the right time with the right people. Let him supernaturally lead you. You know, I pray that over my family and my church family every day. And I just pray, God, help us to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right things with the right people. But, you know, you got to cooperate with that. You know, people have lost their lives. We've heard stories of that. You know, we've heard minister stories of that. They've died in plane crashes. I can't think of a name right now, but don't you remember? They've died in plane crashes, and somebody would say later they didn't have peace about going, but they were going to go. They felt pressure to go, and things happened, and so on and so forth. Now we're sharing this. This is not to create fear in you, so don't receive it as that. We don't receive this to create fear. It's a realization that we've got the Holy Ghost in the side of us. And, you don't stand and reason, well, I'm in fear. Do I feel some fear here? No, that's not how the Holy Spirit works. He'll just lead you. He's real gentle, and he just leads you and guides you. You all know that. And just know, if you're just trying to make something happen, maybe you need to back off, talk to Jesus about it just a little bit more. Okay? Any comments? Anybody want to make comments to that? Share thoughts or?
I've got mostly mature couples here. But, listening to my wife when she doesn't have peace about it, it took me about 10 years to figure out.
That's a good one, Michael. Yeah. And that works both ways, too. But I have to say this. I think God made us women a little bit more sensitive in that area. I really do. I believe that's our part of being a helpmate to our husbands. Because our husbands are anointed. Jean and Judy having a discussion about that. But our husbands are anointed to take care of us. And sometimes, I think I'll just make this as a general statement, they get caught up in that. But I've got to do this because this will take care of us. But then the wife, she may say, well, wait a minute, I don't have peace about this. So let's, whatever. This is how we work together as husband and wife, I believe. And I agree. That's a great point, Michael. That's a great point. Yeah, this is how God,
Wanda,
yes, sir.
Can we go back to the mother that up in Minneapolis?
Mm-hmm.
What would she have had to gone through if she had turned around and gone home? I mean, she would have never known what she missed.
Right.
And I mean, you've got the to know that you know that you know.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be. When you make a decision like that, what are you going to say? I mean, there's really when you've got to know that what you've done is right.
Yeah.
And whatever people say, because people are going to say, all those parents or the mothers that were there with their other children.
Yeah.
That little boy, he's 5 years old, I believe. He's not going to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And probably pitch a fit.
Right.
Yeah, and her phone blowing up with people wanting to know why she wasn't there.
Yeah, because you're right. She had no idea. If she had changed, she had no idea what she would have missed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good point.
Hindsight shows us that would have been the right decision. But, and then the enemy's really going to tear. He's really going to come against you big time after.
Well, either way, she went. That happened.
And nothing happened to the other children.
Right. This guy randomly picked this child up.
He had intended to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So even if she had turned around,
he would have gotten another child.
It would have been somebody else.
Yes.
Because he had made his mind up.
Mm-hmm.
So in hindsight, if she'd have done it, her phone might have blown up, and they might have been criticizing her, but she would have realized that.
Yeah, that's true. That probably would have come out, wouldn't it?
We've had that happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I shared with this group the Sunday that I taught for you.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, I got an unrest about a trip that we were scheduled to take, and we were scheduled to take it with other people.
Okay.
And so I struggled with that because of that, because other people were involved, and so I just said, well, I'll just pray Psalms 91.
Yeah.
And so I talked to the Lord about that. Why am I, you know, why can't I pray for, why can't we just, you know, keep on trucking with this? And finally I just said, okay, there's no peace here. And fortunately, the people that were involved in the trip, they kind of questioned me, but they were members of this church, so, you know, they gave me a lot of grace in that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'll never know, you know, on this side of heaven.
Right. So nothing.
At least I have a song so far.
Nothing manifested itself for you to know. Yeah.
Right. Except my when I told my mother, she was going to watch the kids. When I told my mother, mm-hmm. I said, Mom, I'm canceling this trip. There's just something. I don't have a peace about it. Mm-hmm. She started to cry. She said, I dreamed that I was at your funeral.
Oh, my goodness.
I
think you did get some.
Yeah. And I said, well, you're going to tell me that? You would have made the decision a lot quicker. But the thing is that she was at all of our funerals. So whatever happened between here and Abington, she was at all of us. So
my.
I assume it was an accident. But anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank God you had grace to I mean, I've had an incident where I can remember that I didn't really have a lot of peace about it. But I thought it was just me, and I went. Nothing happened, but I had a miserable time. Thank God nothing happened, but it was not a good. It wasn't a good trip. I mean, we're learning. We're learning. Just like for that young woman, that mother, you know, God's merciful. But the best would have been. And I thought it was interesting that he shared that publicly. Her pastor shared that publicly. But you know what? I think it's a tool. God was going to use that. People heard that, and they were going to say, okay, wait a minute. What about that? Maybe heard something like that for the first time. We've been taught it. Yeah. And still don't walk in it all the time.
And I'm sure there was people saying, you know, this church teaches the truth. Why did this happen?
And that's an answer kind of for that, too. Yes. It's like, okay, yeah. I mean, he's a pastor over that flock, and I trust him, and I just believe. But it really registered in me and fit with this, you know, for us, for today. And so we need to, especially the times we're in. And I, you know, we can't keep, I mean, it's not, you want to, I mean, let me ask you a question. Don't you think times are more volatile now than they were 20 years ago?
Well, at least we hear about it all the time.
Yeah, and that's part of it, because we hear about it so quickly. But I think that it is. And I think, you know, as we get closer to Jesus' return, and a lot of people are saying we're just getting closer and closer. I mean, main people like Creflo Dollar, and I mean, just, you know, man, he expounded on part of that the other day. It was pretty tremendous. So I guess we need to heed more, pay attention more when we don't have a peace about something or doing something, and not just say, okay, I'll pray Psalms 91. You know what? Yeah, I've thought that too. Well, I'll just pray Psalms 91, or I'll just plead the blood of Jesus, but we don't get paranoid with it either. You understand, right? There's a balance. There's a balance in that, in knowing, okay, where is the uneasiness at?
I remember Tricia saying one time that they were on a trip and they were going to fly somewhere. Mm-hmm. And she said, Torah, we're not supposed to get on this plane. Well, they didn't get on the plane, but everything was okay. So, who knows if they had gotten on, what would have happened? I mean,
right.
I think a discussion like this here is good, because when something happens, when we hear the Lord inside, or I have mm-hmm. that feeling, mm-hmm. then we're more apt to pay attention to it, even because of this discussion that's going on right here.
Right. Well, isn't every decision we made is one of faith?
Right.
And we may not, and you make that decision whether you the plane crashes or
you can't second guess it.
You don't know. There might have been somebody on there that, you know, you just, you can't reason it.
No, you can't.
You can't reason it. You just can't reason it out. But you just, I hope that just makes us more sensitive that, you know, Jehovah Shalom. And he, over in the chapter a little bit further, he says, one way you deal with fear, you invite the Lord to be Jehovah Shalom in your life. You expect that peace. You follow after it. You know, Gene, you mentioned a minute ago, hindsight. Hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah.
But more it can cost you. I mean, you know, if you don't listen and you can look and think, oh, wow. Wished I hadn't done that, and so on and so forth. And but I believe if we got in a room with 100 people, everybody would probably have a testimony of, you know, I did something and I didn't have a peace about it, and I really wished I hadn't done it.
Yeah.
And some, it may have cost them quite a bit, and some, it would be just, you know, I had a miserable time. You know. Well, thanks for all the input. That's great. Yeah.
Would you say there's a distinction between not having peace and fear?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't think they're the same thing, but I'm curious.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because I remember I had to go to, I went to Tennessee, and this is a year or so back, and our granddaughter, I needed to drive her to school. And this is before Tony and Amy moved to Knoxville. And, you know, it was unfamiliar territory, and y'all have heard me mention it, the traffic is just horrendous, and all, even where they were at that time. And I dealt with, Michael, I dealt, that's another good point, I dealt with being uneasy about it, but I realized it was a fear. It wasn't a, I wasn't supposed to go. Man, it was hard to distinguish it though. I mean, I really had to pray, and I just felt like, I have to face this. I have to face it. You know, there's times that God will have you to face. Joyce Meyer talks about it. You face the fear, you know. And so I went, and I remember the last day, the last morning I took her to school, it was pouring down rain. It was dark. They were working on the roads. And man, and I took her and I dropped her off and I pulled over to a gas station and I just cried. I mean, that was the effect that had on me. But I knew, and I waited till it got daylight, but I knew that I had conquered something as well. Because I could have been at home and not even faced it. So yes, it wasn't a don't do it. But it was, you know, we've talked about it, you do it afraid. And, you know, and this is just an area of my life, being out and traveling and what, and I'm just having to face it more and more and more. And so, and I think honestly for me, it's a fear of getting lost. I'll just say that, and I don't know where that came from. But I can find myself out like that. And, you know, and I'm having to, I mean, today, having to face it, you know, when we go somewhere. But this is giving me help and hope and realizing that I just don't cower down and just say, I'm not doing this and I'm just going to stay at home. I had a wonderful time with my granddaughter, you know, just me and her and some things that we did and all. But I had to face a fear to do that. God took care of me, but man. So, yeah, tremendous question. Thank you. Y'all understand? There is a difference between the fear and being uneasy about doing it or not having a peace. I mean, I've even got written some scriptures that I stood on in the Word here. So, does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, we got about a few more minutes. I wonder how many of us are like Gideon. Look at Gideon's response after our Lord just called him a man of valor. Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites. Look at his response. Doesn't Gideon, remind us of ourselves? Instead of hearing what the Lord has just called him, he began to complain. Where is God in the midst of the terrorist attacks? Why has the Lord forsaken us? Why is the Lord delivering us in the hands of our enemies? Astoundingly, despite hearing Gideon's tirade, the Lord simply turned to him and said, it's just amazing, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? You know, God did not have a pity party with Gideon. You know, he won't join our pity parties. What? First the Lord calls this man who is in hiding a man of valor. Now he calls this complaining man who is mad at God to go in that might of his and save Israel. Are we missing something here? Go in this might of yours? Shouldn't it be gone from my presence, you stinking complainer? I must have found the wrong guy. And I mean, you know, that's funny and that's cute, but there are a lot of people that will look at God that way. Because they're looking at their performance instead of what Jesus has provided for us. He said, I'm so glad that the Lord is not like you and me. He always calls the things that are not as though they are. And see, that's what Gideon was doing. I mean, God was doing with Gideon. You're a mighty man of valor. He didn't tell him how rotten he was. Gideon knew that himself. How fearful he was. God will never look at you and say, you're just a fearful coward. He will never. We got to understand that. He never looks at us that way. And we can't ever let our fear get between us and God. Because you can let that happen. Because you know what? You say to yourself, I ought not be this way. Have you ever said that to yourself? I ought not feel this way. And then the enemy aids and abets that son. You know, you ought not. Look at you. You ought not feel that way, you ought not look that way, or, you know, deal with something that way. But God is not that way at all. Man, if we could get hold of the real revelation that God calls those things that be not as though they were, that is such a tremendous way that we can live our lives. We call those things that be not as though they were. And, you know, as though they are. You know, that's what we do every time we're in fear. Or every time we're dealing with something in our lives and we say to ourselves what we are in Christ. You do that every time you call yourself healed and yet your body's got pain in it. That's who you are in Christ. That's your right. You're the healed. In Christ, you're the healed. And you're calling those things that be not. That's how God operates. And I believe that as you receive a revelation of how the Lord is the God of peace in your life, you may be fearful and complaining now, but like Gideon, God will send you to be a testimony of his protection. He will send you to all your friends, co-workers, and loved ones who are bound by fear, and he'll use you to deliver them from fear. And I'll finish with the scripture verse, Romans 5:1, because it says the God of peace in your life. And this is why you have peace in your life. I want to read it from the Amplified. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and giving a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. That's what you base your peace on. It's not your performance, it's not your thoughts, it's not who you are, where you're going, what you've done. The foundation of peace is found in Jesus. I love it. We have the peace of reconciliation to enjoy. But we have an enemy that is an accuser of the brethren, and he likes to accuse us and tell us what we're not, what we've done, how bad we are, or whatever. And then we have to stand on that place of faith and say, I have the peace of reconciliation to enjoy because I'm in Christ Jesus. It's not about what I've done today or what I didn't do. Or, you know, that mother, she made that decision for her child. But you know what? She has the peace of reconciliation to enjoy in her life. And that will stop the enemy, you know. And it's raining, isn't it? So, anyway, I hope y'all enjoyed this. you know, well, let's see if we'll finish this next week. Okay? And you might want to read on into the next chapter. Some, if you have time to, it shall not come near you. It's, you know what, the next chapter, let me tell you, it's everything we know that we've been taught as Word of Faith people. It's everything we know. But man, take it, let it stir you up, and target it towards any fears that you might have in your life as you read that chapter too. So thank you all very much.